You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Heat Nation. I'm David Ramil, the host of Locked On Heat, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Please make sure to follow the show, if you haven't already, wherever you listen to podcasts to get the latest episodes. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. Visit rockauto.com and tell them Locked On sent you. It's been 2 weeks since NBA free agency kicked off, and Heat fans are somewhere in between basking in the glow and worried about the future of their team. Is the roster perfect? Are there concerns? It's hard to pinpoint anything specifically right now because we haven't seen the team play. We're kind of watching Omer Yurtseven and hoping that he'll save the franchise somehow. And that's unrealistic. But there are questions. There are concerns. And I get it. I'm going to try to do my best to answer them this week. I'm going to tackle 15 questions, 5 shows this week, 3 segments each, tackling free agency with big picture questions. And hopefully we'll come up with some kind of clarity here. As I've said before, I'm optimistic about the future here. I'm optimistic about this season in particular because my feeling is that they've assembled a really great team in Miami. But I also understand why you might have some overall questions about how the team was assembled, whether or not it's going to work on paper and things of this sort. So I'm going to start off today's episode with a question that kind of seems a little unusual, but looking at the acquisition of Kyle Lowry, I think it's a fair question to ask. Does Miami have a new big three? Now, I'll preface that by saying the term big three kind of has gone the way of the term unicorn when it comes to NBA circles. You know, it seems to be overused now to the point where it doesn't quite make as much sense as it once does, and now it's kind of fallen out of favor. It's funny how that works out when it comes to covering the NBA or just talking about the league in general. Some things run their course when it's like, whether it's, you know, looking at a player that's unheralded or maybe doesn't, you know, a little bit disrespected, doesn't get the kind of attention that he probably should. And then all of a sudden it kind of flips the script a little bit to the point where now they start overvaluing what the player can do and things that sort. Look at Chris Middleton over in Milwaukee. He's a perfect conversation starter here because he's part of a quote unquote big three in Milwaukee. I think you could make a strong case whether or not Middleton and Drew Holiday deserve to be labeled big three players. I thought it was a little funny. Look, I think Holiday did a lot this postseason in particular to show that maybe he does deserve the designation. I remember at the start of the playoff run, somewhat jokingly mocked Milwaukee Bucks fans for saying that they had a big three because Drew Holiday never really felt like he belonged in that conversation. Middleton, a very, very good player, but still not exactly within the conversation as a, you know, member of a big three or a superstar or anything like that. But I guess it's all about complementary pieces fitting together. And in the case of the Milwaukee Bucks, well, hell, they won a championship. You know, Middleton and Holiday both went on to represent Team USA and play a pretty significant role. At least Holiday did. Middleton, I know, struggled mostly from the floor. But overall, they had some pretty good moments over the past few months. And I think now they've kind of entered that upper echelon as far as the big three conversation is concerned. Bleacher Report actually has Milwaukee's big three of Giannis, Chris Middleton, and Drew Holiday within their top five. Miami ranks sixth overall as far as their big three of Kyle Lowry, Jimmy Butler, and Bam Adebayo. They're ahead of Phoenix, Utah, Atlanta, Chicago, and they're behind the Warriors, the Sixers, the Lakers, the Bucks, and no surprise here, the Brooklyn Nets with the biggest three of the NBA. I guess that would make more sense. So is that a fair designation? Feels that way. It feels that Miami should be considered that. Look, as far as the Warriors are concerned, I think the belief is that if Klay Thompson returns to the player he was, or he's even close to a facsimile of the player he was, that represents two of the best shooters in the NBA, plus still an elite defender and playmaker in Draymond Green. And I think given the way that those three players have worked together over the last, you know, 6-7 seasons, I think it, you know, certainly you have to include them in that conversation. You know, 3 years ago wouldn't have been an issue whatsoever. Given Klay's injuries over the last couple of years, then it becomes a little bit more dubious. And Draymond kind of slowly eking his way out of that big three conversation because I think while he's still a great defender, I think there's some frustration given his offense and things of that sort, much more than you would get even in Miami with Bam Adebayo. Look, the Sixers, for all the summer and off-season conversation regarding Ben Simmons, still one of the top 20 players in the league, unfortunately. I think that's just the reality. Given his defense and playmaking ability, the fact that he can get downhill with that speed and strength, that he can still shoot at, you know, within 5 feet of the basket, and he can score at a pretty high level there around the basket, he has to be considered that level. I think he's good in every other aspect other than shooting. The fact that Tobias Harris is included there as a good scorer. Look, Tobias is one of those players that, again, it just doesn't feel like he ever gets his flowers. He's a fine player. He's getting overpaid to some degree, and I think that's kind of where the conversation starts and ends there, because given how much he's getting paid, he doesn't seem like he's the right quote-unquote value for that contract, but he's still a great player, very good player. Maybe those two things are different, but either way, I think the big three conversation with Philadelphia starts with Joel Embiid, too. I think that's a big part of it, is when you have a top 10 player like Embiid, if not a top 5 player like Joel Embiid, I think it's easier to say, well, maybe two other players complementing that one top player kind of makes sense to form a big three there. As far as the Lakers are concerned, again, AD and LeBron James, with Anthony Davis there and LeBron, I think clearly you have two of the top 10-ish players in the league. Maybe AD just slips out of that. I've seen more and more rankings with LeBron James out of the top five, or like at the bottom level of the top five, than I have in recent memory. He's been, you know, clearly near the top for so long in his career that I think it's kind of now kind of flipped the script a little bit, where you're starting to undervalue what he does because he's not putting up the same kind of numbers. He can't quite sustain it over the course of an 82-game season, and I think there are some issues whether or not he might be healthy. I think that's where the acquisition of Russell Westbrook makes sense for the Lakers, too. Is he a top 10 player? No. Is he a top 20 player? I can't see it. Russell is such an interesting player because you look at what happened this past season. He spent one season in Washington, and Wizards fans, and yes, there are Wizards fans out there, would have you believe that he is like the best player on earth. It's kind of hard not to love Westbrook, I guess. If he's on your team, you take him warts and all. You accept everything he does, because the one thing is true of Russell Westbrook, whether he's in Houston, Washington, the Lakers, or, of course, in Oklahoma City, that guy will only go at 100%. He won't stop. It's to his detriment, because he won't stop taking 18-foot cotton shots. He won't stop taking, you know, off-the-jump threes there. And he's not going to knock those down with any kind of regularity. And so he is not a great player in my – he can create. He can take some of the load off LeBron. I think he's playing with the two most talented players he's played with in his career, and AD and LeBron, since his days in Oklahoma City. I mean, I think it might have worked in Houston to some degree, but that wasn't exactly the best fit either. Look, as far as the big three conversation, certainly the Lakers have one. I just don't know that it's as strong a case, including Westbrook in there. But with Milwaukee, we saw what happened. And the Nets, given that their starters, you know, those three players are such great scorers, I think it's hard to overlook that. Maybe Harden and Kyrie aren't great defenders. I think that's certainly a problem. But these big three conversations never really deal with that. You never really focus on three great defenders. But what you do focus on is, collectively as a unit, how well those three top players will able to lead their franchise moving forward. And so when you look at Kyle, Jimmy, and Bam, certainly I think it's a big three. Unless Kyle has an incredible drop-off, which does not seem to be the case, unless one of those two players suffers, you know, Jimmy or Bam suffers a major injury or another slippage in level of play, which I also do not expect, I think this is a good core that will be able to defend at a high level, make plays with each other, make plays for each other, for their teammates, initiate offense, score at the rim, score from the perimeter with Kyle there, create offense at a high level, defend well, make plays. I mean, it's the definition of what a good group should be. I think they balance each other out. They complement each other out very well. I think it's a great core to have. And certainly you can make a case whether or not they might be a top five big three by the end of the season. We'll see whether or not, you know, the Warriors are able to get Klay back to some degree, whether or not the Sixers blow things up. If they trade Ben Simmons away for Damian Lillard, well, I think that certainly elevates the big three in Philadelphia to some degree. But it's interesting. Look, Miami's back, you know, the conversation last offseason. Interestingly how things change. I think last offseason, maybe the offseason before, it was all about building big twos, you know. The big three is dead. There's no big threes in the league anymore. And I think maybe this designation has been a little overly generous, perhaps, or again, being utilized so heavily that it's lost some of its impact. And now you know, after a year or two of you know, shifting back to the big two, now it's back to being a big three again. And I think the conversation should be more about building a good team, which I think certainly Miami has done that, about finding the right players to complement each other. And I think it's about, you know, having as much talent as you possibly can. Miami, you might not have the most talented group, like NBA Math, a great website that does, you know, break down and provide some numbers on some statistics and players and ranks players to a very good level. I think they rank Miami's top three players pretty well. You know, Kyle ranked 36th, Bam 23rd, and Jimmy top 12th. So I think that's, you show that those players, three of the top 36 players in the league, it's a great place to be in for Miami. I think maybe you didn't necessarily have Jimmy in the top 12 before he joined the Heat. I think it was somewhat debatable. A lot of people wanted to take away from what he was able to do on the floor because of his tenure in Philadelphia, the fact that he was playing alongside Joel Embiid, and of course what happened in Minnesota didn't exactly help his case any. But now that he's back in Miami, now he's in Miami rather, and he's playing alongside a guy like Bam, and now bringing his friend in, Kyle, I think it's the start of something special there. But it's interesting about that top 12 designation there, because I think that's kind of what differentiates Miami's quote-unquote big three from others, is that Miami does not have a top 10 player on their roster. Can Jimmy Butler be that top 10 player? I'll answer that in the next segment. But first, just wanted to tell you a little bit about a new product that we're talking about here on Locked On, and that's SweatBlock. It's an unfortunate problem that a lot of people have to deal with. I know it can be somewhat embarrassing for somebody. I've got a close friend that tends to sweat a little bit, and you know, it's okay. I mean, it's not like it's a big deal, but I know that he's frustrated because he has certain shirts that he goes through. It leaves stains. It's embarrassing. It's not exactly something that you want to go out to if you're having a meeting or a date or something like that, and you kind of, you know, you're sweating overly profusely, and so it's a problem. And so when you have a product like SweatBlock, he's so looking forward to using it. He has not started it yet, but from what I can tell, he's really excited. And from what I've seen from people who actually have tried the product, it's incredible. I mean, look, it's doctor created, doctor recommended. Works for up to 7 days per use. And it's got a dry shirt guarantee. Like, if SweatBlock doesn't keep you dry, you get your money back. How can you not, you know, appreciate a product like that? They're manufactured in the USA. They're available on Amazon. You know, they've been available for the past 10 years. And you can wear what you want to wear. You know, it's your little secret. You don't have to think about it. You don't have to go and tell anybody about it. You go out there and you get that confidence that you might not have had. I know I've seen him before kind of moving his arms, or if he's clapping or excited about something, he kind of gets a little shy or a little embarrassed. But now he doesn't have to deal with that anymore. And so that's why I think it's such a great product, and I recommend it wholeheartedly. The product will sound too good to be true, but I think you only have to use SweatBlock once or twice a week, and it keeps you dry the whole time. No more pitting out, no more picking shirts based on which one will hide your sweat better. If you know someone, if you or someone you love is dealing with this, then you've got to check out SweatBlock. Get it today for 24% off at sweatblock.com if you use a promo code LOCKEDON, or at Amazon and CVS. Look, it's tough to find the right fit in your company. We saw this with free agency. You're trying to find the right players to build around. And so people, general managers, or you know, the hiring person in your company has to figure these things out. And so what do? They use Indeed. If it only were that easy at the NBA. You know, you go to a job site that makes hiring incredible simple. You just attract, interview, and hire. With Indeed, you can do all of your hiring in one place, even interviewing. Don't just hope your perfect candidate will find you. Indeed's hiring tools will help you cut through the noise to hire faster and smarter. With Indeed Assessment, you can choose from 135 skills tests to help make sure that you're finding the right applicants with the people with skills that you need. According to Talent Nest, Indeed delivers 4 times more hires than all other job sites combined. Join more than the 3 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Get started right now with a $75 sponsored job credit to upgrade your job post at Indeed.com/LockedOn. Get a $75 credit at Indeed.com/LockedOn. Indeed.com/LockedOn. Offer valid through September 30th. Terms and conditions do apply. Answering your questions about free agency, or questions that you might have over the next week. 15 questions, 15 segments. And this one is about Jimmy Butler being a top 10 player. As I mentioned, the NBA math ranking has Jimmy as a top 12 player. I think that's fair. I think coming off of the Orlando bubble, there was some argument there about whether or not Jimmy might be a top 10 player. I think it felt pretty legitimate. I think his overall showing in the postseason was great. And then you kind of look at what happened this past regular season. And I don't know that it necessarily hurt his standing as a top 10 player. I think there's just a perceived lack of value in what he does. And I think that's the interesting part when you're assessing what Jimmy Butler does, is it feels like he's an impactful player. Like, you can look at the statistics that show when he came back, Miami was winning at an incredibly elite level. The fact that he missed a bunch of games and Miami was without an identity, that they just look lost out there. But then you also look at what happened in the postseason, and I think it's fair. Look, you have to hold it. You have to hold Jimmy's feet to the fire. You can't just look at the good stuff about Jimmy and say, oh, no, he was a great player during the regular season, and look at how much he struggled in the postseason and not hold it against him. We've been doing that against the Bucks for years. I remember doing a preseason analysis last year about whether or not the Bucks could be a contender, and everybody was kind of overlooking them. Because why? Because they just got punched in the mouth by the Heat in the Orlando bubble. Did anybody consider them to be a real good team? They were an also-ran contender. I don't think anybody saw the Bucks last offseason and thought that they would be able to work their way all the way to the NBA Finals. And I think that's even with the acquisition of Jrue Holiday. A lot of people concerned about how the Bogdan Bogdanovic thing fell apart and holding it against the Bucks and saying, oh, this is just the Bucks buxing all over the place. Well, they turned out to be pretty good. Yes, they took advantage of injury. What team hasn't? I won't discredit what the Bucks did. I don't care. Look, I mean, it's over. It's a new season. They'll have to go out and get a chance to prove it next season, whether or not they were deserving or whether or not they can actually be contenders or not. But they accomplished something that only one team can accomplish every year. Regarding Jimmy, though, I think, again, when you look at what he does, it's hard to make a case for him as a top 10 player because, you know, he doesn't lead the league in scoring. He's not a great scorer. You know, you look at the top 20-ish players in terms of scoring, Jimmy's nowhere near there. You know, he's a good complementary scorer. He can get his buckets. He can get to the line. Can't shoot particularly well. And I think that's part of the problem, is that when you look at, you know, top 10 players, they generally have to be incredible scorers. You know, the other players on that list that rank in the top 10, 11-ish, as, you know, sub kind of MVP candidate level and actual MVP candidate level, Jokic, Kawhi Leonard, Giannis, LeBron, etc. Those guys are all very, very good scorer. What stat is elite? What is Jimmy elite in? That's the kind of question for me. Where does he dominate in terms of statistical output? And I don't know that he has one. Like, he's great. He's a great passer. He makes great plays for others. He led the league in steals. I mean, that's fantastic, but I don't think anybody really cares about that. It's not necessarily an indicator. It's kind of feels like an empty statistic or more about based on help defense. Maybe it's just Jimmy. You know, there's the realistic possibility that people don't take Jimmy as seriously or don't appreciate what he can do. If you look at other, you know, teams around the league and the fact that he burned his bridges in Chicago, burned him in Minnesota, and then burned him in Philadelphia, you know, that's three franchises that you alienate to some degree, and certainly their fans as well. I think he's still appreciated in the Chicago area. That's more blame on the front office than anything else, but I know that there were some players that were not happy with Jimmy Butler in Chicago and that he kind of forced their hand in the terms of, you know, he wasn't going to re-sign with them, so they might as well trade him to someplace that he would. You know, then he traded to Minnesota and he did the same thing much more notoriously, I think, burning his way out of Minnesota. In Philadelphia, it was just a matter of he didn't really like where the franchise was going and they weren't going to offer him the kind of money he expected to get paid. And he was able to get that from Miami. It's been a perfect fit. But I think if anything, and you look at the fact that he can't or does not necessarily dominate in any one statistical category and still considered a top 12-ish player in the league, that's a testament to his overall impact and that he is still regarded as a top player in the NBA. He is good at everything. I don't know if you could have made the same case for anybody, like with the exception of maybe Dwayne in his prime. And I think Dwayne's certainly much more potent as a scorer, but I think the teams were different because he had to be more potent of a scorer during his MVP level season. You know, he was shooting at a much higher clip. He was taking more shots per game than Jimmy did. He was also dominating the offense, initiating plays for others. He didn't have a second player as good as Bam Adebayo. You know, he didn't have another all-star on the team. He had, Mario Chalmers. He had Mike Beasley. He had Jermaine O'Neal and Sean Marion and everything else like that. But those players around Dwayne during those two seasons between 2008 and 2010, they weren't going to be taking away from Dwayne's shots. They weren't going to be calling for the ball or anything like that. Who was he going to pass to? Jamario Moon? It wasn't necessarily, you know, it was Dwayne's team to dominate, and he did. He put up big numbers. And look, that's the conversation, right? At that point in time, when the big three formed in 2010 in Miami, it was Dwayne being a top five player, LeBron being another top five player, and then Chris being somewhere around this 10-ish to 11-ish, 12-ish mark. You know, he was somewhere in the top 15 category, let's say, when he came down there, mostly because he just hadn't put up as big numbers in Toronto as Dwayne and LeBron did respectively on their teams, and because they hadn't done a lot of winning with the Raptors. And I think that kind of took away from how he was perceived as a complimentary player. Still a top 15 player, obviously. I think that was still pretty clear. And you look at Eric Spoelstra's argument about whether or not he was the player that contributed the most or as much as anybody to Miami's success during the Big Three era, and I think that's a good conversation. But Jimmy is, he's different. I think he does all these things so well. He can block shots. He can impact plays defensively. He, obviously is a great steals player. He impacts passes, scores, just can't shoot particularly well. And I think if he was able to be just somewhat more, let's say, what would it take for Jimmy to, what would he have to shoot from behind the line in order to be viewed as an improved scorer and maybe more deserving of the top 10 designation? 35%? Is that too unrealistic, a jump there? It kind of feels like it is. Maybe even if it was closer to 33, then maybe people would say, well, he's still trying. If he puts up two threes per game, maybe three threes per game, and hits one of them, if he's one for three from every game, wouldn't you take that? Because I think I would. I think that would be a good way of balancing out the rest of his offense. So we'll see whether or not he'll be able to expand his range there. But as far as the fact that he can do everything well, I think the fact that he joins this team in Miami, and all of a sudden it feels like this team is built in his image to some degree, right? It follows what he can do. It follows what Bam can do. The fact that they are both very good all-around players that can do almost everything well. Yeah, and then you have questions about their offense, but that's why you have to surround them with the right scorers, the guys that have that kind of mentality. And I think that's what Miami's done this offseason with a guy like Kyle Lowry that can shoot as well as he does and is also a very good all-around player. You have a guy like Duncan. He could wind up leading the team in scoring. I mean, maybe that's a question left for later on this week, but I don't think that's unrealistic either. Like, maybe on a team with Bam, Jimmy, and Kyle, you would think it's ridiculous to assume that anybody else could lead the team in scoring. But I think Duncan's going to have so many more opportunities this year than he has in the past. If I had to guess right now, I'm making a guess. The leading scorer for this team next year is Bam Adebayo. That's my guess. I don't know if I'll be right. We'll see how it plays out. But I think this is a team now built on the identity of being able to do very well in many different categories. And I think that's kind of reflective of where the NBA is now, where you want players that are versatile, that are not one-dimensional, that can do lots of things well. And Miami has a lot of them. And while that doesn't get the recognition it deserves from around the league or from people who make lists like these, it certainly leads to a lot of success. But I'll wrap up today's show with a look back at the past season, whether or not Miami may have made some mistakes during the trade deadline. But first, just a reminder that if you're looking for auto parts, if you're looking for parts for your car or truck, then there's no place better that you want to go to than the family-owned business that's been serving auto parts customers online for two decades. That's 20 years of service from rockauto.com. You can go to their website, you find all the parts that you're looking for. It's so easy to navigate on that site, and you find everything you need with just a few easy clicks. You get all the parts you need delivered directly and safely to your door. Why bother going anywhere else like a chain store when they have to find the parts on their computers? You've got access to computers, which means you've got access to rockauto.com. You get all the parts that you're looking for at great, low, everyday prices because they're the same prices for everybody. Whether you're a mechanic or a do-it-yourselfer or just somebody who's interested in buying the parts that you might need for a friend or family member, you can go to rockauto.com. You know, I know it happens, especially my family. You know, my dad doesn't like taking his car in sometimes. He doesn't want to take it to the mechanic or he doesn't like taking it to the dealership. He says, oh, I need this part. So I don't think of myself as being particularly handy, but I can get some work done. So I order the parts I need. I use it at rockauto.com, and I get them delivered directly in just a couple days. Install them, save hundreds of dollars. It's such a great help. And so if you go to rockauto.com right now, you see all the parts available for your car or truck. And then when you check out, you write the phrase "locked on" in the section that says, "How did you hear about us?" so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. That's rockauto.com. And when you're done fixing your car, you want to treat yourself, get the best tasting protein bar ever. That's Built Bar. Again, if you haven't tried it by now, I don't know what you're waiting for. It is the best tasting protein bar. They're soft and easy to chew. They're 100% covered in chocolate. They come in amazing, great flavors. You can try so many of them. And you can build a mixed box where you can get a couple of each of their great flavors. So you can try the ones that you like. And for whatever reason, you might not like one. Maybe somebody you know likes a particular flavor. You can give them away. It's such a great value. You have them in your house. You grab one on the go. Maybe you don't have time for lunch. Maybe you're driving around as more and more people go to work and you want to have a snack there to tide you over. You're stuck in traffic, etc. You grab yourself a protein bar, the best tasting protein bar out there. You grab yourself a Built Bar. And right now, if you go to BuiltBar.com, get a box of all their delicious flavors, and use the promo code LOCKED15, you'll get 15% off your first order. So use the promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off, but only if you go to BuiltBar.com. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with a Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. This last question is one based on something that I've seen regarding this Heat offseason and the fact that maybe Miami wasn't able to complete their plan A. I think some people assumed that the Heat would be in the running for maybe a bigger name than Kyle Lowry, even though I think that's somewhat insulting to Kyle and his overall impact. Again, if you value Jimmy to the point where he is a top 15-ish player, top 10 perhaps player, then you have to value Kyle along the same lines. Look, Kyle had some injuries this past year. I think they were mostly about him being shut down because the Raptors were tanking. I don't think he's going to have those issues in Miami, at least not in the short term. I think maybe they'll crop up later on in the contract. That's a conversation for a different day. But for now, I think it's kind of disingenuous to not appreciate what Kyle does and still look at what Jimmy and Bam does and say, well, maybe, you know, maybe Kyle's not as good at it. I think it's a different conversation. I think what his role, he's going to star in his role. And given that maybe he wasn't the biggest acquisition that Miami could have made, but he was certainly the right one because I think he helps his team on so many different levels. From a defensive standpoint, as a point of attack defender, a guy who draws fouls, who scores in the clutch, who's been there, who's tasted championship success, I think that's so important for this team. And I think they're going to be able to really take advantage of having a guy like Kyle on the roster. But you look at other moves they could have possibly made, right? Could they have been in the running for, I don't know, Dame Lillard? Could they have made a swing for the fences and tried to acquire Bradley Beal or somebody else? Maybe. I don't know what those deals would have looked like. Did they have to give up on Goran Dragic? That might be a conversation for another time as well. But I think the big question that everybody's looking at is, did Miami make a mistake by not trading away some other players during this past season? And I would have to say flatly, no. There's this weird memory loss or like a short-term memory associated with fans who are criticizing the front office for not trading players like Derrick Jones Jr. a couple years ago or Kendrick Nunn, completely forgetting the fact that those players provided value at some point in time. Derrick Jones may not have been a star or a starter with the Miami Heat, but he was a contributor, and you were counting on him to have that, to make those kind of contributions. I think with Kendrick, it's the same way. I think you look at this past offseason, could you have traded Kendrick for maybe a low first-round pick or maybe a second-round pick of some kind? If you compile enough of those assets, you know, enough second-round picks, maybe you can strengthen a deal to acquire a Dame Lillard or something like that. Maybe. But and you have to look at those moments in a vacuum. I know NBA front offices have to look both at the past, the present, and the future simultaneously. An impossible task, which is why so few of them have sustained success
or even achieve success of any kind. Only one team wins a ring every year. And when you look at a franchise like Miami and their front office and the fact that they've been consistently good for 26 years, that's virtually unheard of. I hate to poke fun or to point out some other team's shortcomings, but you look at what the Spurs are going through where they can barely cling to a not even cling, they can barely reach playoff level, as far as their win-loss record is concerned. And I think, you know, you have to have great players all throughout. You have to have the right idea of building rosters. You have to have the right team around you. You have to have superstar-level players throughout your sustained success. It's just the nature of the NBA. And given all that, I just don't know how you can criticize Miami's front office at any point in time for not trading away players, not knowing what that value for those players would have been like in the future, or not knowing whether or not you might be able to do something else with them in the long term. It's just, in a case like Derek, Miami would have loved to have brought him back. They would have loved to re-sign him on a one-year deal. They just didn't. They couldn't. They wanted to keep that cap flexibility for what they were able to pull off this year, or what they might have been able to pull off for a Giannis Antetokounmpo or Kawhi Leonard or some other superstar. Is it worth trading away a player like that, knowing that he was relied on in the Orlando bubble? You know, does Miami achieve the success they do without Derrick Jones Jr.? It's kind of hard to say. If you're going to ask this what-if question, you have to consider both the possibility that maybe Miami screwed up, or maybe that your line of thinking is wrong. And I think that's the right attitude here when you look at, you know, should they have traded away, I don't know, Precious Achiuwa over the season, right? I mean, they wound up trading him away for Kyle Lowry. Would it have been better to trade Precious halfway through last season for another second-round pick or a first-round pick or something of value like that, and then maybe package that together to acquire Dame Lillard? I don't know. Like, these kind of questions feel so foolish to me because you never know exactly what kind of value you're going to get out of these players, and you never know what their role could be or whether or not you're counting on them. You look at what happened with Victor Oladipo, and I will defend that trade forever because I think it was the right move at the time. Yes, he only played four games for Miami. He was still expected, had he been healthy, to play a bigger role. He would have been a defender that you could throw at a Bryn Forbes or at a Drew Holiday or a, you know, Chris Middleton to keep them from scoring. Would he have been the difference in a series against Milwaukee? Again, impossible to tell. I think he would have been a difference. I don't think Miami would have gotten swept if they'd had a player like Oladipo at full health. I think that's fair. And so you can't, I mean, look, what if questions are fun to kind of navigate, they're fun to kind of ask and everything else like that, but I don't think you can trade away players like this not knowing what's going to happen down the road in a few months. I think Miami would have loved to have Kendrick back and a reasonable contract. They just weren't willing to offer that reasonable contract. You know, Kendrick wasn't willing to accept that reasonable. He wanted a little bit more money for an opportunity to compete for a title, to get an opportunity to play alongside LeBron James, etc. I think it's going to work out pretty well for him, and I think it works out fine for Miami. Right now, they'd love to have a player like that because his role will be less. He's going to want a bigger role in Los Angeles. I don't think he's going to get it, to be quite honest with you, but I don't think he was going to get it in Miami either. And so he has to be able to move on. Look, players just sometimes, they just need a change of scenery. They just need to do things a little differently. They need to change things up. It's not change just for change's sake, although sometimes it feels that way, but it's about finding the right fit, the right opportunity, something you're going to get. I mean, Toronto fans are ecstatic about the addition of Precious Achiuwa. Wait till they see what he does during the regular season. I don't think he's going to get that kind of playing time, one. And secondly, I don't think you want those kind of extended minutes either for Precious Achiuwa because, well, he hasn't been able to show that he can really be effective for prolonged playing stretches. So I'm concerned about that, but you know what? That's Toronto's issue to deal with right now, and it doesn't really impact Miami. That's a whole different show as to whether or not Miami should have held on to Precious. Who knows? They could have done something differently in order to acquire Kyle. I think we've heard recent reports about whether or not they could have traded away. Maybe they shouldn't have picked up the option for Goran Dragic. They could have just signed Kyle directly into their cap space and would have changed the way they built this roster. But I think operating as an over-the-cap team allowed them to make some of the other moves they did, and maybe they wouldn't have had to give up Precious, but it doesn't matter. Now he's at Toronto Raptor. Best of luck to him. Best of luck to Goran and whatever situation that winds up resulting in. But for now, Miami is looking ahead to bigger and better things. Just a reminder that you can always reach me via email at lockedonheat@gmail.com or via Twitter using the hashtag AskLOHeat. Be sure to please subscribe to the show and leave a review. Special thanks to all of our sponsors for supporting today's show. And thanks to all of you. This is David Ramil signing off for now.